Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
And Mike, the feverish Fadero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. Let's go. Wait, see.
And welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 367.
Yes.
We are in heaven. We ain't slumming. We're kind of humming. We've got Heath Cummings. And what are we doing, Fanero?
This is our third show of the series where we're just simply asking people in the industry, all over the industry, Devi, Dynasty, Redraft, you name it. What do you think of rookies? What do you think now? What do you think later? What do they mean to you? What do they mean to your dynasty teams, your redraft teams, all of it? Everyone's got a different answer, and the conversation's gone everywhere. So we thought, we got to bring on Heath Cummings again. We had such a great time last time.
So I do want to say one thing before we throw it. And thanks a ton for being here, Heath. But I do want to say last week, I was really glad that Jeremy, Dynasty Madman, brought up like how fun the rookie drafts are and how enjoyable those are and how fun rookies are as we're slamming through this process and kind of making it sound insignificant because of how saturated it is. But these shows also are food for thought for me. And that's what I think is so awesome about it. Heath, you mentioned how knee deep into Dynasty you are at this point. And I also know that Dynasty's kind of gotten bigger the last like 5 to 10 years. When did you really get into Dynasty?
You know, I've always like really got into it. If that means had 5 or 6 or 7 plus Dynasty leagues, then it was probably 4 to 5 years ago. If that means enjoyed that format more than any other, then probably at least a decade. I think it's undeniably the best way to play fantasy football if you love fantasy football. The greatest thing that fantasy football does is keep groups of people together in a sort of community. And Dynasty does that over a long period of time. It has a much better track record of keeping leagues together than redraft leagues do. Fantasy football is all about like picking the right guys. And if you do that in Dynasty, you get to keep them forever. So like if you love this game, I don't know how you could not love Dynasty fantasy football.
I love that answer. You would have thought that he knew I was going to ask him that question, but that was perfect. I think something else about it for me too that I started to enjoy because I'm so compulsive even in like the redraft leagues back in the day. And then you do all that work throughout 13 to 17 weeks and then he races and it's like everything's, you're like, man, I really wish I could keep this team going into next year, but you can, it reboots. And I think that's with Dynasty too, is it makes that work seem more worthwhile even if you're not putting a ring on your finger.
I love that period of time leading up to the draft where you kind of go back and I know there's some people that are looking at their dynasty team every week in February and March and that's fantastic. I'll do that occasionally too, but that period of time when you're really kind of reacquainting yourself with your roster, especially if you've got to make cut downs before you can make draft picks, which is kind of the way I prefer it as well. And you're like, you're really just like, man, I love this team. Or the opposite, and hopefully you've got a whole bunch of draft picks to change that. But no, that reacquainting period is a lot of fun.
Swags brings it up as his unhealthy relationships. Like in Dynasty, you have like these really deep rosters, and when you look at it after, you know, like you said, maybe a dull January or February, and you look down like, man, I still have that guy? That feels unhealthy. You know, I need to make, you know, and we're all excited about the rookies coming out. So now all of a sudden that fifth wide receiver on Kansas City doesn't have any more value to you.
Absolutely. And it's also a little bit of anxiety during that process because we all have had those situations where we thought it was a good idea in April to drop some veteran so we could make a fourth round rookie pick. And we get to August and we don't want that fourth round rookie anymore, but somebody just spent $900 fab on the guy we dropped. And so like that can happen as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
3 days ago, released your 2024 Superflex Dynasty Rookie Only rankings. Mm-hmm. And I'm privy to all your CBS articles. So I'll bring another one up a little bit later, because I've been a CBS, I guess, subscriber for a little over 25 years. So way back when my buddy and I started a redraft league, we've just stayed committed to CBS. So I'm very familiar with all your stuff. So you're putting in the work, right? Like, you're doing what Swags and I have been talking about this whole time. I know that we've done rookie profiles throughout this time period. We're not doing that. We're suspending that this season just to talk more about rookies and what they mean and what they mean to our dynasty team. So that's just how I want to start. Like, in dynasty, Heath Cummings, what do rookies mean to you? That's simple. It's a very open-ended question. It's hard to surmise exactly what I mean by that, but what does it mean to you?
I mean, they are the mystery box. And the strange thing for people who do what we do is that we're supposed to tell everybody what's in the mystery box before we open it up and see it in NFL games. And so that makes them a real opportunity for joy or for suffering. Like, you can be the guy who's right about Michael Thomas. And first off, everybody is going to tell you for a couple of days that you were right, and that's awesome. And then you've got him on 6 of 8 dynasty teams, so you get to have him forever. And remember when you were able to draft him later than you should have been able to. Or you can be the guy who thought Josh Reynolds was better than Cooper Kupp, and everybody tells you are an idiot for 10 years. And so, like, it's a mystery box, but with extreme consequences for those of us who are making those choices before we ever see them on the field.
I Swags, I'm sure you love that answer as much as I do. That literally,
yeah, absolutely,
in a nutshell, has been, I guess I would say, the consensus thought is kind of like that mixed bag full of like everything you want, including your worst nightmare, you know?
Well, like, and that's why I think, like, you should, as a dynasty manager, if you play the way that I do, and this is a big qualifier, because there are people who would really like to just fight for 4th through 6th regularly and say, I'm going to, playoffs are random, I'm going to win occasionally. I love the rebuild. And so, like, I'm competing or I'm not. And during that period of time where I'm not competing, I love rookies. And I want as many of those mystery boxes as possible. And I'll throw the ones away that suck, and I'll keep the ones that are awesome, and it's going to be great. And when I'm in that competing stage, I want no part of it. Give me somebody who's going to score fantasy points, please.
And I love that, too. And I think that's part of it, too. And Fanero and I have talked about that a lot on Rookie Fevers, the mm-hmm. throwaway and trying to get rid of them. And sometimes trying to be aware earlier of getting rid of Rondale Moore before mm-hmm. everybody knows you need to. Like, get rid of him while everybody still kind of has that.
Stop hope looking at my bench.
Something back. Yeah. Yeah. and then the other side, when they do hit and you want to keep them, I'm going to use Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah.
And when you hit on that, I can't let go. And not that you would want to, not that you would need to, but that's where my unhealthy relationship comes in, is when you get those hits. Like, it's almost like some of the cheaper guys that I hit on, those are the ones that I end up adoring just a little bit more, and just like, nope, I was right about this and you can't have him. And I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but the cheap hits that you have, or those guys you get off the waiver, those are the ones, like Gardner Minshew is rookie year. Those are the ones where it's just like, I fall in love with, and I have my unhealthy relationships. Like, I still, like, I'm not trading you Gardner. No way.
I am as big a Gardner Minshew fan as anyone. I think that is difficult, because there's been plenty of times where I've decided, you know what, I'm going to take it. We're 4 weeks into the season. This guy, it was a 3rd-round pick, and now he's valued as a 1st-round pick, and I'm going to take the profit. And that can still, like, I did it. I had Tank Dell was my most drafted rookie this year, and I did it in one league, and I'm still sick to my stomach about it, because I don't have him on one team now, and what I got back for him wasn't enough. Mm-hmm. So, I do fight that temptation to just take the profit, especially with the guys you can find in round 3 of rookie drafts that just instantly seem to increase their value. And I think what we've seen maybe is that that's a better plan with running backs than it is with wide receivers.
I agree.
Yeah. So I did trade one Amon-Ra St. Brown share away that I don't really like to talk about much. Yep. And my return, and I remember talking to Finero about this, and he was like, I don't know if you should have done that. And I was like, and I had all these points that I was so right about, or felt so right about in that moment. I was like, nope, Juju's going to be this on that team. Mm. And Jahan Dotson, I remember the trade. Jahan Dotson is going to at least like be this for me. And I got a second, like, I'm good. Like this, you know, and now if Amon falls off a little bit, you know, I'm diversifying, and I will never trade Amon away again. So I got Juju, Jahan, and a second, and I don't even know what I did with that second. I hate to talk.
Chances are it was better than Juju or Jahan.
Probably. But so, do you happen to remember one of those Tank Dell trades that you wish you got a little bit more?
Oh man, I hate to even say it.
I know.
it was so bad. It was this, I mean, because it's still fresh. It's still new. Like, I feel like I'm going to lose my job if I say this on,
this
I tweeted about
feel
it.
Better. I don't
it
have
is out there on
lose.
Twitter. So it wasn't just a Tank Dell trade. It was also, traded my second and third round rookie picks after week four. Mm-hmm. So I'd taken, Sam Laporta in round two and Tank Dell in round three.
Mm.
And yeah, I got Mike Evans.
Okay.
Which was really nice.
Yes.
And DeAndre Hopkins.
That's not bad.
Well, it's terrible. No. No, like right now, I didn't win the league. I lost in the championship game for like the third time in 5 years. I won once as well.
You traded those picks away.
But I don't, like, I'm going into this year now. And I have Mike Evans and DeAndre Hopkins on my team. And this other dude has Tank Dell and Sam Laporta on his team. And I won like $25 more than he did last year. Like, that's not a fair trade. I was supposed to win the whole league.
I actually missed, for whatever reason, I don't know, I missed that Sam Laporta was part of that trade. I got that you drafted him in the second, but I didn't know you traded him away from as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we won't get into that one.
Well, that's what I said. Hopefully, I don't
really
get fired
better.
Now.
This is a trade I haven't talked about since I did it, and it's been forgotten about, and I've kept it hidden and locked up. But I do. I like Heath a lot, and I want to make you feel better.
Thank you.
One time, I traded away. This is no BS. I traded away three first round picks for Josh Rosen. Yeah.
That's pretty terrible, too.
That was obviously years ago, but that happened.
Just this last offseason, Heath, I traded away Cam Akers and I'm sorry, I received Cam Akers. And
so it's a bad trade.
Yeah. And gave away James Cook.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know,
I will say that sometimes these terrible trades, and I tell this one as often as possible, because it was just dumb luck. The year before Cooper Kupp became Cooper Kupp, back when Michael Thomas was still Michael Thomas, I was in one of John Bosch's leagues. And of course, there's no trade deadlines in those leagues. And so it's week 16, I think. And Michael Thomas gets hurt. And I'm in the semifinal. And I trade him away for Cooper Kupp.
Mm-hmm.
And I was giving up a lot more in future value than what I was getting at that time. And I lost the next week and put up like 7 points. Oh. And so I spent that entire offseason just like nauseous that I had traded away Michael Thomas, 180 catches a year, for Cooper Kupp. And then Cooper Kupp became Cooper Kupp and Michael Thomas was no longer Michael Thomas. And it was the greatest trade ever.
Yeah. So what you're saying is there's hope for Jahan Dotson.
That's exactly what I was saying. Yes, definitely. Exactly.
So now that we've uncovered some of our mistakes,
mm-hmm.
What do you think some of the biggest or just the biggest mistake people make this time of year due to rookie fever, maybe with their picks, maybe with trades? Like, what do you think the biggest mistake to make this year is this time?
I think it's really, really risky to trade these rookie picks for players who are one injury away from being done. Like you talk about trading, you want to do that in October, then that makes a lot of sense to me. The guy's made it through the first part of the season. He's probably going to be there to help you during, but these contenders, and I've done it before, that you get in the rookie draft and you're on the 10th pick and you're like, man, I want to go get somebody that's going to matter. And so you trade it for Saquon Barkley or some Derrick Henry last year or Austin Eckler last year. And then like one thing goes wrong with that and that value is poof, gone.
Oh yeah.
And so if I'm going to trade for a player during the rookie draft or this early in the offseason, I'd like it to be somebody who I think, you know what, things could go terribly wrong next year, and I'm still pretty sure he's going to be good in the future. I don't want to trade it for a one. Like, if I'm going to trade for a patch, I want to do that in season.
And you're drawing the line. You're saying, you're not saying any vet. You're just saying a vet with like a short lease, especially a running back.
Exactly. These running backs who are 27 or older, these wide receivers who are 30, 31 or older, a Travis Kelce, like that type of range. I don't want to be trading picks for those guys this time of year.
I agree. So you did recently trade a 101 away, though.
Ooh.
Four?
Gotta
just
hear that.
Just for you, Fornaro. Yeah. So I earned the 111 in this league. Just so you know, that wasn't my 101. I had a 101 and a 111, and I traded both of those picks away in Superflex. And my return was Amon-Ra St. Brown, Drake London, and Zach Charbonnet. My current quarterbacks in that league are Stroud, Tua, and Goff. And Gardner.
So I think St. Brown's the best asset in that deal. Even in Superflex, I'd rather have him than the 101 this year.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, and so the second pick was 111, right?
Yep. So if you figure that's for London and Charbonnet.
I'd rather have Charbonnet. London than 111 for sure. Oh, like, yeah. You got Charbonnet is just like cherry on top.
Yep, I feel like I got London's right leg for free, mm-hmm. and then all of Zach Charbonnet just in case.
Are you a Walker owner in that league?
I'm not, actually.
Okay, just curious.
But I do feel like, and we have yet to see with landing spots and whatever happens, but I do feel like with this rookie draft being, and I know there's free agency coming still, but with this rookie draft having not as many like flashy rookie running backs, that it is a good year mm-hmm. to try to obtain as many running backs on the cheap as you can.
Yeah.
I don't mind that. I don't mind that one bit. Late January, Heath, you actually had, you know, I told you, I watched, reading all your stuff.
Yeah,
There was an article that caught my attention, why Kyle Pitts and Mayer are screaming buys, updated dynasty tight end tiers. We, at that time in late January, Swags and I were almost exhausted from the offseason to the final part of the season talking about rookie tight ends. And rookie uh-huh. tight ends specifically, not three-year tight ends. Rookie tight ends,
right?
And when you think about that, and you think about first year production, Kyle Pitts does come to mind right away because right. as a rookie, he broke records, and then Sam Laporta does it 2 years later. So I have to ask the same question, but just refine it down to tight ends. What do rookie tight ends mean to you?
Generally, and this was turned out to be really wrong last year with Sam Laporta, and I did draft him in the second round of one league, that I don't draft tight ends in the first round very often at all. I think the history suggests that NFL teams should not draft tight ends in the first round very often at all. I'm okay with drafting them in round two or round three. As a rule, I think that most rookie tight ends, certainly not Laporta, you can acquire cheaper 15 to 18 months after the draft than you can on draft day.
Hence your article.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Because this is when you want to buy them, right? At the second,
I mean, imagine
third,
if you'd done that with Trey McBride a year ago.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. Great example. Yep.
I traded, after the injury, I traded away Nick Chubb for Trey McBride and Zach Ertz. I got the pair. Not that
post-injury.
Ertz did anything, but yeah, after the injury.
Nice. Very nice.
It was early after the injury, but yeah.
So I'm trying to think of the timing of that. Did the Chubb injury happen before the Ertz injury, right?
McBride had not broke out yet.
Okay, right. Yeah. But yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I'm pretty skeptical of Chubb at his age.
Yeah.
Coming back from this type of knee injury.
Yeah, it's too bad.
And McBride obviously went bananas after you made the trade, so.
Yep.
Did rookie fever ever fool you? So you're getting caught up in rookie fever this time of year. has I know we talked about our mistakes earlier, but I think all of us have done this, even though we know to wait, we know to hold those draft picks till during the draft. We know all the rules, right? But it still bites us. Is there an example you can give me where rookie fever's ever gotten Heath Cummings?
Oh, 100%. And it got almost the entire industry. Not everybody. Maybe one of you guys were smart enough to not get got by this one. And I think it's relevant to this year. But I was an enormous Jonathan Taylor guy. Like, generational prospect. Everybody was. Generational prospect. And I just can't. And I'm also, obviously, like, if you see my backdrop here, I'm a Chiefs homer. And so the Clyde Edwards-Helaire first round draft capital, Taylor goes later. And I'd even been somebody who's been pretty skeptical of giving that much weight to draft capital, especially when it's just separated by the round, because one of them went 31st and the other one went 40th. It's pretty dumb, but I fell for it hook, line, and sinker. And just like most of the industry, moved Clyde up to RB1. It was dumb. And I hate myself for it. But I do think it's relevant to this year because I put, like you referenced earlier, my top 12 rookie rankings. I'm just kind of putting a placeholder in for RB1 because there's not a Jonathan Taylor in this class. But I do kind of think people have taken that to mean there's not going to be a valuable running back in this class. And I don't think that's true at all. I think there's one or two backs who are going to get drafted with good draft capital into good situations. And if our whole argument was we shouldn't invest that much in running backs because they don't matter that much, only the situation does, then we should really be excited when a couple of these guys get into good situations, like Clyde Edwards-Helaire did.
Yeah.
I love
Bishop
that.
Sankey. Remember Bishop Sankey? That was a weak running back class. Yeah. And I thought Bishop Sankey was going to help a couple teams, and he did not. So it's kind of interesting because I fell for Clyde Edwards-Helaire for a brief moment of time, and then I traded him away straight up for DeAndre Swift. And for a year or two, I felt like the smartest man in the world. But now I'm kind of like, what's going on with Swift, too? You know, like.
I was a huge Swift guy. I'm still a huge Swift guy. It's just Taylor now instead of DeAndre. But I don't know. He's one of those guys that it doesn't seem like coaches like near as much as we do. And I think he just – it's too many negative plays. It's got to be what it is because the big plays are awesome.
Right.
If you can create a six-yard hole, DeAndre Swift's your guy. But if you need to find him to find a crease, maybe not.
Eagles are a pretty good team to give you that little six-yard head start. Yeah.
We'll see with Kelsey now if that changes.
That's a good point. I can't believe, Swags, that we went three episodes into this series and CEH just came up for that question.
Nobody wants to talk about it.
I think CEH needs – like.
Hey, I've bared my soul here. Like, I'm talking about trading away Sam LaPorta and Tank Dell. I'm admitting Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You're getting everything.
CEH belongs as the top one answer on the Family Feud board as far as, like, you know, have you ever been burned by rookie fever? Because he was – I remember all the buzz, like, in the Dynasty community about how he was, like, RB1 before he was even, like, drafted, you know, in rookie draft. Like, you got to be kidding me. Like, how is he there already? It's like Kansas City running backs. That's all it is. It's first round. Oh. It's just like, and it just spun into craziness. And you knew we all liked Jonathan Taylor before more than we like all of us had him above that. You know what I mean? It's such a huge rookie fever miss. And just an example of how we have to be careful with rookie fever. Even like, you know, the folks that look at this every single minute, every single day, fall for it.
Yeah.
But rookie fever
buzz too that you were talking about? And I think that, and I promised Finero I'd be good tonight, but I think that there is something about the buzz, and when so many people are in it together, that they feel like they can walk away from those mistakes together as well, and we don't have to speak of it again. But when you're
great point
wrong about, well, man, you know, I'm trying to think of another example. Josh Rosen, I don't quite want to use that one because I know there are a few other people high on him in those moments too. But I feel like those mistakes when you're wrong about Juju, or I know, well, I have, no, some, I think it's not coming to mind. Like, but when you're wrong with everybody, you're just kind of like, all right, let's just kind of push this under the rug and keep it moving.
that that's where the comfort is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think you don't see as much dissension, is because it's really much safer to just be pretty close to in line. It's the misses where you're out of step. Now, on the other side of that is the hits where you're out of step are so much more fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
And so it does create like some different incentives depending on personality types, I think.
I feel like I give myself an excuse, not like directly what other people are doing, but more like in my tier. Like I can give myself an excuse, like if I'm within my tier and I'm willing to take a chance inside that tier, then I'm all good. Kind of like what I did with last year with quarterbacks. Right. I kind of had them very similar, Richardson, Young, and Stroud. I had them in a very, very similar grouping where I was willing to move back in situations where I could have had first choice.
Right.
And I felt like that worked out last year. I'm not saying it works out all the time, but that's my comfort level on taking chances. You're right. I think as human beings, we don't want to go too, like, for example, if let's say somebody knew all about Sam Laporta's rookie season, right? They're the one person that just knew all about it. And they wound up picking Sam Laporta at 104. They still would be an idiot, right? Like, would they still not be called an idiot? Right. They still would be like, what are you doing? You could have got him so much later. Why didn't you trade down? Why didn't you trade back?
You got to endure that for at least 7 months.
At least. Right.
Yeah. Right.
And I think that's what's like kind of in the back of our heads when we're making these picks, is like there's a subtlety between, yeah, I want my guy, but there's also, but I don't need to pick them here. And that mix brings you to ADP. Which then just kind of forces you to do what everyone else is doing. And I think that's why tiers are so important, is to kind of like go, okay, I get that, but it's in my tier. You know what I mean? Like Sam Laporta was in my tier.
Mm-hmm. And it's, it's kind of, you want to remember that you don't want to let value create you, and you have to know how you can create value in yourself versus having what everybody thinks create your thought. And I think that's hard to do. It's not as easy as it sounds.
Well, yeah, I just don't think like everybody's value is not in having a unique take. Some people's value is presenting the same take as everybody else in a more entertaining way.
Yeah, it's more comfortable, like you said.
Right.
How, because we talked about how you were fooled by Rookie Fever, I was fooled by Rookie Fever, how we were all fooled by Rookie Fever. How can you use Rookie Fever against someone? And give me an example how you can kind of use a certain time of year to, you know, maybe to your advantage versus your league mates.
I think it goes back to what you said just a minute ago. I think it's all about tiers. If you can see that the herd or the momentum is moving in the direction of one guy, and you think he's really similar to two or three other guys, then being willing to take that move back three spots and acquire future picks is the easiest way. Now, you can get burnt, but I think that's the way you do it. You just have to be confident in your tiers.
Yeah. I think that's at least, like I said, my security blanket.
Yeah.
And also, like I've said, I've been following your work for a long time, and particularly in redraft. So I wanted to twist the question of Rookie Fever into a redraft mode real quick. So take your dynasty hat off for a minute, put your redraft hat on, and just answer the same question. What do rookies mean to you as a redraft player?
Frustration. Because my redraft approach is definitely, like, it's not entirely projections, but it's projections based. And as a rule, especially the quarterbacks and tight ends don't project very well. And like, I end up calling a lot of guys who I think are awesome football players redraft busts in August, because people are more excited about them than I think they should be. And sometimes I'm right about guys like Pitts and Bijan, and sometimes I'm wrong about guys like Gibbs and Laporta. But I think it's okay if you want to take swings on those guys just based on the potential hits. But my approach in redraft a lot of times is, that guy's a little bit, I'm more drafting the second tier, the Tank Dell type guys in round 13, 14, 15. And then when those guys hit, it's huge profit.
Right.
But there's not near as much of a bust risk.
Let me ask this question. 29 to 31 year old, let's say stud, like Mike Evans, or I'm trying to think of the free agents this year. Free agent, wide receiver, lands on a new team. I want to put him in a spot, but I don't want it to be too amazing. Would you rather have proven vet Mike Evans or a couple rookies throughout that area of your draft? Who, like, I have this theory that it's hard to teach some of these old dogs new tricks, and that some of the rookies, if you know that they're going to be in the right system right away, will be cultivated into that quicker than Mike Evans.
The answer is, if it's a first-round rookie, probably them. Mm. If it's a vet changing teams, probably the rookie. If it's a vet in the same situation and it's not a first-round rookie, then it's definitely the vet.
Yeah, then you definitely want Tyreek Hill.
Exactly.
I was going to say that's the right answer. I'm all over that answer, because you're right. Like, I don't like, for some reason in fantasy, people get really excited when players change teams.
Right.
I don't like it. I love continuity. Yeah, like T. Higgins staying in Cincinnati is good for T. Higgins. I know he had a down year, but that's good for T. Higgins. That's good for Burrow. It's good for Chase. It's good for everybody. Higgins going somewhere else where everyone gets super excited because it looks good. I think the odds are against them. It just is, like, at least year one, especially. I mean, look what happened to Juju with the team switch. There's a lot of different factors, but in particular, your answer like kind of rings true. It's like, I'll give you the if then probabilities here. And I agree with you.
It's not a very hot take, but it's the way that I operate. So.
It's the right answer.
Yeah.
Just earlier this week, I mean, it might have been Tuesday, I believe it was. You did your first rookie mock.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to ask you, because this is when Swags and I dived in, you know, for years. I wanted to ask, how much do your rankings change after landing spots in draft capital versus right now? We're doing all this homework right now, and we're doing it. Look at all this work you're doing. You're redoing your dynasty rankings, right? How much, how radically, percentage wise, does this change for you when you actually know what team they're playing for and what their draft capital is?
Not very much. Well, it depends.
Okay.
Like, I think there's a certain, the first half of the first round of a rookie draft are guys that we think are going to go in the first 20 picks, mm-hmm. and they're quarterbacks and wide receivers. And so that's not going to change much, probably. Maybe somebody like last year, I was pretty adamant that Anthony Richardson, I would care a lot more about his draft capital, because if he was a second or third pick in the NFL draft, then he's going to get 2 or 3 years to be a starter and he's going to run like crazy. I love him. If he was the 20th or 25th pick, I mean, he might not get much time at all. So to that extent, it matters. But assuming we're right that these top six picks are all going to be top 20 picks, then I don't really care that much. With the running backs, it might matter more than most of the research I've done so far. With these guys, it shouldn't have with Jonathan Taylor and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but with these guys, it might. So I think with the rest of the guys, it just depends. Are we talking, it's less about the order and maybe even the round. It's more about the day. Like, are you a day one guy, a day two guy, a day three guy? Sometimes the undrafted guys are better than the day three guys. So that will impact it quite a bit. It's going to matter to running backs more than anybody else.
I agree with the running backs for sure. I also agree with what you said earlier. I've been trying to say as often as possible that there's going to be a mad swing towards running backs and rookie drafts that no one's sniffing yet, because I've seen this process. And when it starts this early, where we're talking about, oh, there's no running backs in this class, they're all wide receivers, if you need to get right at wide receiver, 2024 is it. Get those first round picks, get those wide receivers. I promise you there'll be two running backs or more that'll be picked in the first round of your rookie drafts. I'm doing mocks right now, and almost no running backs are picked in the first round. And as soon as they get third round draft capital, even if it's that late second round, and wind up on a team with a juicy landing spot like Baltimore, something like that, everything's going to change. And we still love our running backs. I know Swags and I like love the hearts of our team's dynasty. Redraft doesn't matter to be strong at the running back position. So I'm totally on board with you as far as that goes.
But it's got to make, I think what we should see is probably two or maybe three, but probably two are going to sneak into that pick 9 through 12 range, because those are generally win now teams.
Yep.
And then we should probably see a little bit of a gap at the start of the second round, unless those picks have been traded. and then we ought to see several of them come off in round two. But yeah, I think I've got one right now in my top 12 kind of as the placeholder, and it was almost a joke, not a joke, but the easiest explanation is the Chargers picked Blake Corum and he's the top running back.
I was hoping you were going to say him, honestly.
There you go.
I love that. Yeah, I mean, that's – but I think there's really four or five guys that it could be.
Yeah, I agree.
So we'll just have to wait and see.
And
see,
so I think
– and this is cliche, but I would love to see DeAndre Swift go to the Chargers.
Yeah.
And it's because I say it's cliche because, like, of the passing.
Right.
And, like, we instantly think
– I don't know how much they're going to throw there. Like, you put Harbaugh and Roman together, like, we might see Justin Herbert in the game manager role.
Yeah. No, that's true. They might not have that Austin Eckler role.
That's how a running back's going to take Austin Eckler's place, because Austin's going to take out of there, too. There is Austin Eckler role. I'm out of here.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the surprise draft capital, I guess, is like your caveat. Like, so basically, like, pre-draft process is pretty sound because you're basing it off of expected draft capital. So right. As soon as someone, especially quarterback like Malik Willis, this time of year was like, oh, he might go to Detroit in second overall, you know, and then wound up, you know, being a much later pick.
Right.
So Hakeem that Butler. Obviously. Hakeem Butler. Yeah, there's definitely.
Ooh, man, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah, there's my soul.
Yeah.
And vice versa. There's also like wide receivers in particular. I know I've fallen for it where they're a name that are off of our board this time of year, but then get picked in the second round.
Right.
Second round in particular gets me every time. Dwayne Eskridge, you know, those guys that are picked in the second round with an opportunity, and you're like, wow, second round draft pick is high, you know, like this is like a top 100 pick still. And yeah, D. Eskridge wasn't on my radar, but here in the fourth round, like, how do I not pick the second round wide receiver? And I wind up with a couple of those guys. So I'll get fooled that way too.
Sky Moore.
Yeah.
Yep. I was thinking Mecole Hardman, but yeah.
Ooh, that's a good one too. That's a great one.
Landing I think you got to really be cautious with those guys if they do special teams work. If they might return punts and kickoffs, then maybe that's why the team valued them higher than we did.
Makes me think of Taven Austin.
Oh, wow. Yeah, see what I mean? There's so many, like, fool's gold, if you will, that just kind of, like, lead you astray. This question is going to actually seem a little out left field, but it has everything to do with everything. And that's, when do you let go of that promise that comes with that high rookie pick? When is, because Swags is much better at me in Dynasty of letting go, right? Yeah. Like, we talked earlier in the show about wanting to be right and having that hit and all that. And I promise you that I hold on longer than most. I'm just curious what your threshold is.
I held Corey Davis long enough to experience his only good year. So you remember the one good Corey Davis year? He was still on my team.
Oh, hell yeah.
So if you have first round draft capital and you stay with your original team, I'm probably I'm hanging on to Elijah Moore this offseason. And he gave us what, four good
Corey
games?
Corey Davis outplayed Elijah Moore, just for the record.
Right. Yeah. I do still have Rondale Moore on one roster. He'll be going away before a rookie draft, but yeah, he's still there. So no, it's definitely a sliding scale, but for the guys that I really believed in or liked, I held on to Josh Reynolds too long. Mm-hmm. I will hold on to those guys because sometimes you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be right and then dropped them and then didn't have it pay off. I only experienced the time when I was wrong.
Heath, I live in Kalamazoo, Michigan, home of the Western Michigan University Broncos.
Is that also home of Bell's Brewery?
It is. Yeah, you got it.
I was there about 15 months ago.
Nice.
Yeah. It wasn't 15 months ago. It might have been almost 2 years ago. We went there over the summer. My wife chose Michigan.
Cool.
She wanted to get some not hot weather. We live in South Florida. And so we went there and we did Founders and we did Bells.
Nice.
And we went over and did the dunes and hiked the dunes a little bit. Yeah, it was a great time. Awesome. Loved the area.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
I was talking about that to Finero.
I would never come there when it's cold, but yeah. in July, it's fantastic.
Nobody turns right or left when they're going down 94 or 90 there. They just keep going through because Ohio's so boring. But Western Michigan, that's where Corey Davis is from,
yes,
or played college. So I was right there with you. I had way too much Corey Davis and fought pretty hard even when he wasn't.
I will be visiting the Detroit Kalamazoo area at the end of April, so I will get to see this beautiful place you guys call Kalamazoo.
Or Michigan.
Or just Michigan. Don't have Swags do the hand thing again. He likes to show you like where in Michigan.
Put the thumb out. You got to put the thumb out.
Like that. There you
go. Yeah, that was weird.
All right. Heath, I got two more questions for you here. One could take you a little time to formulate, so let me know if you need a second. But do you have any rookie draft strategy you'd like to share? Rookie drafting strategy from Heath Cummings.
Can I repeat something we've already talked about?
Of course, if it's important to you and you need people to hear it, then
like
go
I think first off is know your tiers,
mm-hmm.
and second off is get your guys, because as we've talked about, you get to keep these guys forever. And so I do want to know my tiers. And if I don't care within a tier, I want to move to the back of that tier. Mm-hmm. But if I really like I'll use the Mahomes example. Got the Mahomes magic crunch over one shoulder here. And this, I loved him before the Chiefs drafted him. And I'd been at CBS for, I think, 3 years at this point. And Dave and Jamie aren't huge fans of another NFL team. And I was moving that direction. It was easy enough with the Chiefs losing in the divisional round every year. And I fell in love with Mahomes through the pre-draft process. And then the Chiefs traded up for Mahomes. And so now he was going to have Andy Reid and Travis Kelce and everything. And I went and got him everywhere because that's my guy. So I think like those are the two things is know your tiers, get your guys.
And then, I mean, not only did you get your guy, but you got your Homer guy.
I know, right? I
mean, that's
probably not on top. That's not a great strategical.
No, not usually.
Unless
it feels pretty damn good.
Unless it's one of the greatest quarterbacks ever.
Yeah,
and then you should do it. And then you should do it because it's fun when it's that.
Oh yeah. I think
there's even something else to be said about getting your guy, even if they miss, because I'd rather have my miss on my team than Heath said, you know, and he was wrong. And I wish, I don't know, when I'm wrong about a guy, it's no fun, but I'd rather know that I was wearing it on my sleeves than I heard it from everybody else. And that's why I made the decision. Same with the hits. I think the hits feel a lot better when it's your guy versus you got everybody was chasing Clyde Edwards-Helaire and he hit. It just doesn't feel the same. It's just kind of like I got the guy everybody wanted versus I got my guy and I was right.
You know what feels a lot more dumb than missing on your guy?
Three when
you
first were on for island? Josh Rosen.
Well, that does, yes. But also when you don't take the guy because everybody else has got him like eight spots higher than this. My guy might even come back around. I'm just going to take this guy. And then the guy you thought was the guy was actually him. And you've got to watch him dominate on somebody else's roster. That feels the dumbest.
Yeah, that hurts.
That sounds horrible. We have been asking every guest, Heath, to do a rookie landing spot draft. So you're going to do just a single draft pick. You are the 104. There are several excellent.
He's 103. Oh, he is 104.
Yeah, you have several excellent landing spots. Let me explain. You're just looking for what is the best position and team for a rookie to land on. So the first pick overall was Arizona wide receiver.
Okay.
And I think the theory there was if Arizona picks a wide receiver as early as they could, woof, going to win on that one. But
right.
Marvin Harrison Jr.
I like it. Yes. Yes.
And so I think that was John Hoke's strategy with that one. And then after that, it kind of dropped off a little bit. We have Miami tight end. I see the opportunity, but it's still a rookie.
That was a bad pick.
Yeah, that at 102, that feels like a reach. It feels like a reach at 102.
That makes your pick. It fell to you.
They I guess they've thrown like 56 passes to tight ends in the last 2 years.
And then right before your pick, Dynasty Man Man went with Cleveland running back position.
Okay.
Which is pretty juicy. All the rest are yours, Heath. What is the 104 for you?
Well, I hope I don't make as bad a pick as the Dolphins tight end. But I'm going to stick with what I was talking about earlier. I think with Harbaugh and Roman and the threat of Justin Herbert, so you get zero stacked boxes, yeah. I think it's running back Chargers.
Yep. I brought it up myself.
Especially if it's Harbaugh's guy.
Yeah.
That would be the best landing spot.
Yep. I think it's also going to happen. They're going to draft running backs. So just get ready for it. Like you said, we can just fill in the blank on which one of these running backs, and we think there's going to be two, right? Could be three. I'm going to lean towards three, to be honest with you. But anyway, two, we'll say two for now. One of them is going to be this landing spot. So I think that's a great pick. That's a great pick. I'm not going to get the Kelly hate is real.
Is he still on the team? I thought we were hating Isaiah Spiller with this conversation.
Yeah, I think Kelly is Kelly still there?
Just want to take it back.
Larry Roundtree?
Yeah. Yeah, he's still there. Joshua Kelly.
We were talking about a 2016 startup draft the other day in a league chat, and we showed a couple of our teams what they looked like in 2016 after the drafts, and holy cow, what a fun exercise to do just to see all the names that pop that there aren't even on teams. Like, you haven't cared for a while, and you're like, wow, that was horrible.
Oh, Heath, man, you've been a treat once again to have, for sure. So much fun. Just had a blast, and I tried my best.
I feel like this went really fast.
I know. I tried my best to promote what you've been doing on CBS, because everyone should be reading it. You were pumping out articles left and right. I had to look at the long list of the ones that I actually missed, so I'm going to go back and take a look at those. And I'm not just saying this, Heath. I'm definitely a fan of your work. I think you put a lot of time and effort into it, and I've seen it evolve over the years, too. And I love that you are such a dynasty head now these days. Love having you on the show, man.
Well, I thank you guys for having me. And you know, the written content started about 5 years ago in terms of dynasty coverage. Last year we were able to start the podcast, and just trying to push and grow that coverage a little bit more. We'd like to just offer more and more dynasty content every year. So thanks you guys for having me to talk about it.
I love how extremely humble come off to me, like on the show and when I see you on X Twitter, like anywhere. I just feel like I don't know, it's good,
it's appreciated.
I don't know if this is going to sound wrong or not, but it's not very difficult being me to be humble. I appreciate that, thank you. I've got plenty reminding me of that I should be. So, but no, it's, listen, we are all extremely fortunate to get to do this, to just get to talk about this game and to have people who want to listen to us. So I'm thankful for that.
I appreciate you. Anything else you want to plug or you want to send people over to or anything at all before we get out of here?
I'll give you two more. How's this? Because we talked a little bit about the content, but if you go to CBS Fantasy and you go to the top right-hand corner of the football page, you will find Dynasty Central, and that's where you get all of our Dynasty content. And then, you know, I'm lucky enough to be on the board of Fantasy Cares, and Scott Fishbowl is getting ready to heat up. And I think people think it's entirely about the Toys for Tots, and it's mostly about the Toys for Tots, which we're buying tens of thousands of dollars worth of toys all around the country for kids. But the board sent me a message tonight. I talked this morning about today was Rare Disease Day. My son was diagnosed with mastocytosis when he was 6 months old, doing much better now. But I got a DM from Fantasy Cares Board this evening, and they donated $5,000 to mastocytosis causes. Nice.
That's
and
awesome.
So, like, that community is growing, and it's doing so much good for so many different types of causes. And if you have a cause that you want to help support with fantasy football, that we'd love to work with you and help you do that. So I just would love to continue to grow that type of stuff.
Your son, he's like 14 now, right?
He's 14, yes.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Basketball game and basketball practice both tonight. So he's,
that's awesome.
I saw that you were doing all that, and I was like, oh my God, like he's doing all that and still coming
out. I just went to the game. I didn't go to the practice. So yeah, I just went to the game, which didn't go very well. Sent him off to the practice. He's 6'1", 170 now. So he's very close to just tossing me around the house.
Wow. 14?
Yeah.
Holy mackerel, man.
Wow. It's a big kid.
Yeah.
Well, that's an awesome story. I'm happy for you.
Make sure to follow Heath Cummings on Twitter. Follow all of his shows. Go listen, watch, read.
Follow.
He is at Artbark TV. I am at Swag00G. This is at Rookie Fever. And we are out. Rookie Fever. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight. In the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you're gone on a treat you ride. Rookie fever, when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now. Who got the 101 style? He's never done this to before. And run, I told you anyone. Silence be just on real landing spot. Not ideal. Wait, let's just break out a full rookie fever stage. Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. Now we get a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon. Got the fever, cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's beat the fever. Thank God for the fever. Thank God for the fever. Now you got 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 the fever.